Shooters, welcome back. If you're new, welcome in. We have over 150 episodes for you to choose from. I know it can be a little daunting to figure out where to start, but most of these episodes are very timeless, and so you can go back and listen to any of these at any time. We've had the opportunity to speak with some of the best players and basketball minds our state has to offer. So we're sure that you'll find something in here that you'll like and enjoy, but also learn something along the way. We're just retired hoopers turned coaches that have a true passion for the game of basketball. We're trying to share that with you, have some fun along the way, and promote the kids, coaches, and programs throughout this state that are working hard each and every day. If there's something you like, please let us know. Comment, like, follow, spread the word. And as always, shooters shoot. Coach Nate Toby, welcome to the Shooter's Touch. We're excited to have you in a new position as the head girls basketball coach up for the Ankeny Hawkettes. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brian. I'm excited to be on. I've listened since you guys got started, and it's a great podcast, and it's great to hear from coaches and athletes across the state.
Well, we appreciate you saying that. It's been a lot of fun on this side to be able to talk to all of you guys and learn some things along the way ourselves and get your guys' story, and obviously continue, as always, to try to grow the game of basketball here in the state of Iowa. That's been the goal since day one, and it's been a lot of fun. I expect the same tonight. Obviously, we have similar history coming up. Obviously, you're from Four Cities, so not too far down the road from Algona, and then we crossed paths there for a little while as you were the head girls coach at Ogden when I was at Madrid, and we had a lot of fun battling for the middle of the pack. Would you say that's fair? Were we in a constant battle for like the middle of the conference? Is that kind of what it felt like?
Yeah, definitely battling for the middle of the pack. It was fun in that conference because there were some other young coaches that it was great to learn from and interact with. And then there were also some more experienced coaches with really strong programs that would beat up on us. And those were great learning experiences too, but I definitely learned a lot in my time at Ogden. And, part of it again was coaching against great coaches like yourself and at programs like Panorama and Des Moines Christian and Van Meter. It was just a great experience for a young coach to take over a program and work with great athletes at a smaller school.
It was a lot of fun, and we were definitely towards the outcast side in that conference. Like you said, there's a lot of old heads that had been there for a while and pretty established in their ways. And so I think that was a big part of obviously us kind of attracting to each other at conference meetings and doing some of that stuff. But the Ogden Madrid rivalry was also a lot of fun too. Obviously we didn't know the full history of it, but the girls got excited each time. And I got excited because you guys were just up the road. Not that we traveled a whole lot in that conference, but it was nice to not be too far from town. And obviously then we were able to form a relationship and stay in touch. And side note, also a client of mine too. So I enjoyed helping you and your family find
your mother. You have to disclose that on your podcast.
Yeah. Might have to mention that, but that was a lot of fun helping you guys find that. And so so then brings us to today. We'll kind of retrack here as we go along, but about November 6th, you guys will tip off and an opportunity. You move back into the first chair as the head girls coach again. We'll get to the boys side here in a minute, but the head girls coach up in Ankeny. What are you excited about for this season? And then also, what has you most excited about being in the first chair again?
Really excited about this season because, it's been nice. I've been in the head coaching spot since about May 1st of this year. So I've had some time to get to know the girls. They're really hungry. They're excited to get started. We have some girls who have invested a lot of time in basketball and put a ton of work in. And we also have some girls who are involved in a variety of sports and activities who will bring a lot to the table as well. So, just a really strong group of girls that I'm excited to coach in games. They've been great to be around. They've been in the gym a lot. And, just looking forward to tipping off on November 6th. And then as far as what I look forward to about being in the head chair again, I just feel like my experience on the boys' side just prepared me so well to be back in this role, and I was able to learn so much from Coach Carlson, the head coach for the Ankeny boys program, and Coach Brandon Johnson, who's the sophomore head coach at Ankeny, has been there for a long time, and his assistant Mark Roush on the sophomore team. So I was just around some great basketball minds over the last 7 years, and feel like that's put me in a great position to help the girls out as much as I can with this program now.
So in a unique situation, because obviously you are in the district, watched plenty of their games, but it's different being on the boys' side. Obviously your focus is on the boys and prepping for the boys. Yeah. But I know myself same way too, wherever you're coaching, you're watching the games, you're paying attention. And yeah. So, you know, enough of what was going on and, you know, how things went for them last year. And so what did you feel like was priority one, after getting the call and the news that you were going to be the head coach? What was something that you wanted to do to start to make these your Hawkettes and make things maybe a little bit different than what they've done in the past?
I really wanted to meet with every player. That was number one. I just wanted to have an individual conversation with every girl in our program to make sure they know who I am, and so they could give me feedback and I can learn about them and their background in basketball. And it's nice because I'm a counselor here in Ankeny at our 6-7 building Parkview. So I knew a lot of the girls. So that transition was so much easier than going to a different school district and having to, you know, relearn about everybody and get to know a totally new group of people. But definitely number one was meeting with all of the players and having that first conversation. That's been hugely important and helpful, you know, in the time since I've had those meetings.
Yeah, that is big. And that's huge too, like you said, because you've obviously known the girls, you've seen them play, you've talked with them, you've been on the bus with them. It's one of those things where you're not starting from scratch, but it is a restart. It's a reboot. It's new for everybody. It's new for you, new for them. And so there is obviously take some time to create and form those relationships. But as we all know in the CIML, you don't have a lot of time because it's going to come at you quick, and you got to be ready to go. And so, there's only so much time and contact that you can have with them. And so it's in warp speed sometimes. But what are some of the goals and or expectations that you have here coming into this first year of under your tutelage as your program? Obviously a team that has plenty of talent. I know they graduated quite a few girls that have been around for a while in the program last year. Got some young girls coming up, a really good sophomore junior class. Lost in the regional championship, I believe last year was at Davenport North. And so what are you guys thinking? What's kind of the hope? What's the goal? What's the expectations here in year one?
Yeah, and it's been fun because I've been able to learn about all the girls programs in our area. We've participated in a fall league over at Johnston, so it's been fun watching some of those teams play and learning about just all of the talent in our area and in the CIML in girls basketball. You know, I've known that for a long time, but now taking over and paying a bit more attention to it, it'll be awesome game in and game out to have the level of challenge that we'll have. And really the expectation is to be competitive in every game and be the best possible version of ourselves. And we have some health situations and we have some girls coming off of other sports here this fall. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we start the year in our first game on November 18th. But, you know, week by week, game by game, we just want to keep getting better and improve. And then at the end of the season, we want to contend and be in that sub-state game and push towards the state tournament each and every year. That was the goal of ours on the boys' side. And I feel like if you get yourself to that sub-state game and work hard over the course of the season to get yourself a seed that your team deserves, you know, with the schedule like we'll have, that's right where you want to be to give yourself a chance at the end.
Well, and two, in the CIML, obviously you have a little stone sharpened stone too. You're going to be tested. You're going to have some tough nights and going back and drawing parallels with that boys team, the 2020 state championship team in which that you were a part of. I'm pretty sure I watched you guys play at Johnston that year. I think you got beat, if I remember correctly, at Johnston that year, and just frankly did not look all that well.
We actually won a very scrappy and sloppy game at Johnston, and we lost to Johnston at Ankeny that year.
That's what it was. Were you behind? You were behind. That's right. You were behind big, I think, right? And came back in the second half of that Johnson game. Okay, that's what it was. Yep. And you could see the potential out there and being like, okay, yeah. And then, like you said, obviously you guys had a good second half. You kind of caught a little bit of lightning in a bottle, which explains kind of that year. You talk about it. You're like, okay, we're not going to have our best stuff every half, every night. But if we can learn and grow from it and give ourselves an opportunity and get to sub-state and then get down to the well, and then next thing you know, you're holding the trophy at the end. Yeah. And so that had to have been something too. And with that, let's jump right to that ride. As we look back on 2020, obviously a weird season, given everything that's going on. That team, like I said, tons of talent, had some mixed sport guys on there as well, and just put together a run to go and cut down the nets in Wells Fargo, which is obviously every team's goal and dream. And so take me a little bit on that ride, that season, and that state championship of 2020.
Yeah, I mean, to me, probably the most memorable game in that run is the sub-state game against Sioux City East, and it was just such a great atmosphere for that game. Sioux City East is a team that frankly very easily could have won state as well that year. They were extremely talented, and that was just a very well played, and you know what the sub-state environments are like, very intense and down to the wire, and thankfully we were able to come out on top of that game. But yeah, that group of guys had just been through so much together, and I think that was a big part of the reason that they were able to do what they did. Is we had four guys: Jackson Smith, Nolan Otten, Braxton Bayless, and Jordan Cum, who had played so much together growing up. Some of them played as freshmen for us, played as sophomores, and had been through every possible basketball scenario, good and bad, in their career. And they weren't as affected by adversity as a lot of teams would be because of that background. So that was really helpful. How much trust they had in one another was really cool to see down the stretch. And then we had role players that were superstars in their role, especially down the stretch of that season. Brecken Manis, who now plays college football, was hugely important for us, just adding a toughness and clutch element to that team. Ryan Krangle, who also plays college football now, incredible athlete, multi-sport person, who went on to have a couple more great years for us. And then the same goes for Braden Simonson, who's up at Iowa State now. Those guys just brought a level of toughness and competitiveness to that group that, again, helped enable us to do what we did.
Yeah, that was it was fun to watch. Bayless was a big cog in everything that happened. But without those other guys, it just would not have happened the way it did. And watching them play and watching the way they went about it, you could tell that there was trust in each other, knowledge and understanding like who and when needed to get the basketball. And ultimately, that's what gave you guys the opportunity to take down, some big names, some storied programs on the way to, being state champions. And like you said, the hard work which those guys have put in just together, just a group of guys growing up playing together, and the pride that they had was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch on this end. I'm sure something that you, your staff, and those boys will remember for a lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. And the other part that was unique with that group is we had about seven or eight other seniors on the team who didn't play very much or at all, that were there every day pushing Braxton and Jackson and Nolan and Jordan to be the best version of themselves. And those guys were really competitive. They were involved in other stuff. They stayed out for basketball and really helped hold those guys accountable each and every night to giving their best. And that, that's something as we reflected, we really appreciated a lot of those guys and what they brought to the table that season. Just having that number of seniors really helps with the maturity and accountability that any coach is looking for.
Yeah, definitely. It's always having those guys, those leaders, both on and off the floor, makes a huge difference and can really help, bring a team together. And so unique, and we talked a little bit about it before we jumped on here, unique situation in the fact that obviously at Ogden, you were with the girls team. Then you jumped over and had an opportunity to jump to the boys' side. Again, obviously at a high level, we're talking 5A boys state champions, and now have an opportunity to switch back to the girls. So what do you think you've kind of learned throughout the process and the different styles and ways in which that it takes to communicate and ultimately get the best out of the players, both on the boys and on the girls' side.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the same things, Brian. You know, I do think it's about relationships and how you treat people. And that to me is the number one thing that I'm thinking about all the time as a coach. And one of the main things I learned from Coach Carlson on the boys' side is just how important it is to treat people really well. And that goes for your players, other coaches in the program. I just was a witness to that for 7 years to see, you know, how great he was to everybody else. And that's really what I want to bring to the table for the girls as well. And, you know, I've been trying to do that since I started in May. So there's a lot that's the same. You know, I think it's really important with girls to really be authentic because I think they're really mature. They can tell when you're being fake with them and beating around the bush and not coming to the chase with things. So I think that's really important. I think that team cohesion and chemistry piece is equally as important with girls or more important, you know, just creating those opportunities for them to get together and, you know, be a team outside of the court and do those fun events together. And, you know, I've been thankful we have a strong group of seniors that have helped take that load off of my plate so far at Ankeny. And we have a lot of parents too who have been extremely helpful as I've gotten started in, you know, creating opportunities for the girls. So those are the biggest things that come to mind. But yeah, I mean, coaching is coaching in many ways. I know there's some slight adjustments that need to be made, but for me, it just comes back to how you're treating people and meeting people where they're at.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great advice and very true. I don't think that there's a ton of difference between the two, to be honest with you, as long as you're real and authentic, like you mm-hmm. mentioned. It does maybe seem like the girls can pick up on that a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Like they're like, yeah. They're like, all right, yeah, this coach is full of it, you know, or they're like, and then as soon as they realize that you're in it and you know what you're talking about and you care about them, then they're all in, you know, where it's like, yeah. Sometimes it feels like the boys, like you have to have a daily reminder to be like, yeah. Hey, you know, I'm here, I'm bringing it, I'm coming with it. Where the girls, like, once you get them, then they're like, yep, this is coach. He's going to be real with us. He's going to be honest. And so it's fun. They both have their challenges and they both have their benefits yeah. too, of being able to see their growth and their development as well. Once we get on the court, then as far as style goes, yeah, you have a ton of athletes. And so there might not be a huge difference, but as you mentioned too, going to the boys' side, you guys got up and down. You were athletes. You had some football players out there. You kind of just let them make some plays. You had some guys that ability to create on their own. You had some shooters in the corner. And so, how does that change, if at all, as you now flip over onto the girls' side, as far as some of the philosophies and some of the things that you'd like to see your girls continue to improve on?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting with offense, I do. I think there's a lot of room to let, you know, girls who have played as much basketball as our girls to just be themselves and play and naturally figure things out for themselves. And I think what I want to do is just create an environment where they can be the best version of themselves on offense as possible, putting them in space to create plays, giving them very simple actions that they can run on their own, playing as fast as possible, getting up and down the court to give ourselves the best chance to score early in possession will be something we talk about a lot, but also adjusting to game flow and opponent in terms of pace, in terms of what we're trying to run. But yeah, the biggest thing for me is being more conceptual than running a ton of sets and plays. We'll certainly have some things in to help the girls out, but I've been really impressed with their basketball IQ, and you know, I can't coach them in the fall league at Johnston. They've been able to draw some plays and get some easy looks for themselves. They've just played so much basketball and understand how to play. We'll certainly talk about shot selection and where we want our shots to come from, considering the players will put on the floor. But that to me is bigger than trying to get them to memorize a bunch of sets and plays as I get started. And then defensively, you know, trying to be adaptable game to game, having some things that regardless of what defense we're in or what opponent we're playing against that are givens and we do the same no matter what, but also giving ourselves room to be flexible with things like ball screen coverages and how we guard inbounds plays. And I think that's part of the reason Coach Carlson has been so successful on the boys' side and other coaches that I've observed is they have really, really strong fundamentals, but game to game, they're willing to be adaptable with things and change certain looks so that, you know, opponents and the great coaches in our area, boys and girls, don't know what to necessarily expect or playing for game to game.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference too. Like you said, all the programs know each other so well, and then you get the coaches who have been there for, you know, multiple years, and you kind of, if you're not on top of it, you can get a little stagnant and kind of see what's coming. And so you always got to be growing and adapting and learning and making adjustments. That's a big part of it too. But you also got to make sure the players are on board too. You can't just call timeout and draw it on the whiteboard and expect it to go perfectly either. You're gonna have to go over some of those things and make sure that you're prepared as well. And so taking a look a little bit, we talked a little bit about it, but, and you mentioned it, Savannah Gage coming off a knee, it was ACL, did she end up towards the end of the year? And so I know that she's been working her tail off to try to get back out there. How's her recovery coming for her? Is that something that the outlook looks really positive?
Yeah, so far it's been great. She is an extremely hard worker and dedicated to her recovery and very motivated to get back on the court with her teammates. And, you know, it's so unfortunate, the timing of that happening, and really that happening for any athlete, it's sad. But I know she'll bounce back. She has a great mindset and a toughness about her. I can't wait to coach her on the court, but she's been a great leader for us. Even though she hasn't been able to be on the court with her teammates, she's coaching in the fall league at Johnston and really helping the younger girls and the girls that she'll be on the court with a lot throughout the process in this offseason.
I was going to ask, so who is she was the one that was helping coach fall league, or who
have you had? She's helping coach, and a couple of our parents have helped out as well. So I've been thankful for the support in that way. It's hard at times to just sit back and watch in the fall, but you know, I know that's necessary. So
yeah, that has to be tough to watch, because you obviously want to watch and see how things go and how things progress. But when you're not coaching, and you'll experience this plenty as a parent, it sometimes as a coach and a parent, just sitting over there trying to just watch and not have an opinion or feeling or idea on things can be very, very difficult. I can speak firsthand to that, but that's awesome. That's great for Savannah to be able to have an opportunity to kind of see that side of the coaching too. Whether or not that's something she wants to pursue down the road or not, but I think you can gain appreciation on how difficult some of those decisions are. And like, you know, she'll give you some lenience, I think, once she gets back out there and is inside the lines and understands things from that perspective too. Another one too is obviously Carson, right? Jax, senior that you have coming back, you know, played and started all 23 games for him last year. And so I imagine she's a big piece of something that you guys are leaning on from a leadership role.
Yeah, definitely. You talk about leadership, and she's been great to have, because, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from her. I've asked her a lot of questions as I've gotten started about a wide variety of things, and she's been extremely helpful and willing to take on that role for me, and does a great job communicating with her teammates and getting them to attend the different things that we have going on in the off season in a very encouraging way. But she's a very experienced player. She's played since she was a freshman. And you can just tell she's been in a lot of big games, and she has a poise and a confidence about her that I'm excited to see in her senior year for sure.
It's always nice to have one of those upperclassmen that you can kind of lean on, you know, especially with some younger talented girls as well. Yeah. Obviously Jayla Williams too, another one that I have to mention from a talent wise is just fun to watch. There's not a lot of things on a basketball court that she can't do. So if you haven't had an opportunity to watch this young lady play basketball yet, you definitely have to come out and check her out. But what are you excited about with Jayla and the opportunities for her continued growth on your team and finding a way to impact games?
Yeah, I'm just so excited for her sophomore season. She, I think, is going to really surprise some people initially with how much she's improved since last year. She just, you know, you watch her play and she does things that not a lot of other girls do on the court. You know, I really have been impressed with her defensively, her knowing how to guard, you know, 1 through 5, she does a great job with, and she affects a lot of shots around the rim. She rebounds, you know, and really defensively, that's where I think she's made the greatest growth since her freshman year, watching her last year. But offensively, she's extremely talented. Her three-point shooting, I think, has come along quite a bit since last year. And she's really rounded out her game in a way that's going to enable her, I think, to just have a monster season for us. And, you know, she'll continue to grow throughout the season. But, yeah, I expect her to have a huge season this year. And she really put herself in that position with a lot of hard work. She's been working out locally with Shane Hennon, who's done some great work with her. And then she's worked hard on the AAU circuit and played against some great players and with some great players. To put herself in a spot.
Yeah, that'll be anxious. I'll be anxious to see her growth and her improvement, what she's been able to do. And so looking back, obviously those three kind of established themselves in the lineup, depending on where and how everything shakes out, obviously health being a big one. But then from there, you graduated last year. I know at least four or five seniors. Jenna Pitt's obviously a big one off of that team that, again, if she didn't play as a freshman, it felt like she did. I feel like I've seen her. I feel like she's been out there doing her thing for at least 4 years that I can remember. And so several girls gone, but you have some young talent. So tell me, as far as the rest of this roster up, what are some things that your players you're looking forward to seeing some growth and some continued contributions to the program?
Yeah. Ainsley Keene will be a sophomore for us that, I'm really excited about. I think she has an extremely bright future in basketball. She's running cross country right now for the first time and doing a great job with that. So that's been great to follow her season. But I think she's going to kind of have a breakout year for us in our conference. And tremendous shooter, works really hard, knows the game of basketball. And we're really excited to see what she does in her first extended varsity action this year. We have Cassie Johnson, who is a senior. She's going to Texas Tech to play softball, but she'll be a major contributor for us, and she's been an awesome leader and person to have around. She's one of those athletes where when she's in the gym, everybody's energy and confidence and the communication just rises because of how much respect she has among our team and among our school for her work ethic and ability. And there'll be some other sophomores, too, for us that will play a role along with Ainsley and Jayla. Other seniors, I think, will play a role. Hannah Howard has been in the program and has put herself in a great spot with her work ethic. And then Libby Loftus is our other senior, in addition to Cassie and Carson, that will be right there in a rotation and has been a great leader and a great member of our senior class and has knocked down some big shots for us in our off-season games.
Exciting to see what you guys are going to be able to do and what the girls. It's always fun to see the work and everything pay off and have an opportunity to step up. And as things move and change and go throughout their season and their career and their moments, being able to find ways to contribute and things they'll remember for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so as we move, let's go 3, maybe 4 years down the road, and we're taking a look, you're jumping back on the Shooter's Touch with us and we're talking about this Hawkette program. What are you hoping? You know, you go through kind of a full cycle. So, you know, full class, maybe it's 4 years, you know, what are you hoping everybody kind of knows about Hawkette basketball in 4 years?
Well, first of all, I hope I'm invited back. I hope this podcast does numbers and does great for your advertising and all of that, and I'm invited back in a few years, if not before that. But, you know, really, I want our girls to be known for playing really hard. And I've on the boys' side, we walked into a situation, and I remember Coach Carlson and I talking after our first few games. It's like, man, these guys play really hard. And I think that's just the standard that's been set in Ankeny for a long time now across a wide variety of sports. But we want to control what we can control, and that starts with our effort. And how hard we play and how hard we fight for one another. We want to be really tight as a group and have each other's backs and have that great team chemistry that allows us to handle those difficult moments. And, you know, frankly, it's going to be an extremely difficult schedule every year, playing against great teams and great coaches and programs. And we'll need that toughness and that togetherness and that effort, you know, to be where I want to be in that span of time.
That sounds like a wonderful goal to be able to, like you said, give yourself an opportunity if you're able to work hard, both in practice and in games, a lot of good things can happen and a lot of growth can happen. And so if you're working hard as coaches, we can teach you the rest of it along the way and hopefully set you up and put you
in. The other thing too is, you know, I want to get as much involvement as we can with our youth, so we know these girls as they come into our program. And, you know, I feel like we have a strong feeder system here in Ankeny, and I think we can continue to improve our numbers. But trying to get our varsity level girls around our youth level girls as much as possible, and trying to get them to be a part of our program and come to games will be a big part of that process for us as well.
And that's huge. Having a second grader of my own and kind of knowing how influenced she is by those girls and having an opportunity, whether, you know, it's to play at halftime or it's to sit courtside or whatever it is, those things are so huge for those girls. They just love it. They just eat that up. They just think it's the coolest thing ever. And so those are fun. It's definitely worth it. I know it sometimes can feel like added pressure to make sure everything's lined up when you already have enough going into a game, but it does pay off in a big way down the road. I can't let you out of here without doing rapid fire. But before I get there, we got to talk a little bit about this. So leading into Christmas break, it looks like on December 19th you guys travel across town to take on Centennial. How about that? Is that normally how that schedule works out, that that's your last game before break? Or does
it's been a couple times it's been like that. I mean, no matter when you play them, it's a great test and a tremendous environment. That one will be an even better environment with that time of year, if that's possible. But yeah, that'll be a fun time to play them for sure.
And so this rivalry is relatively new, actually. So how many years has it been now? Because how long have you been in Ankeny?
I think 7 or 8.
Okay, that sounds about
right. It might be a little more than that, actually, because I know they played a couple of years prior to me starting, and I did 7 seasons with the boys. So it might be closer to 9 or 10, actually.
Okay. That sounds about right. And so what have you experienced or enjoyed about the rivalry between the two? Is that the one you circle, or maybe am I missing something else? Is there another rivalry that you guys kind of get up for? Is that the one that's kind of taken the number one spot?
I don't think necessarily there's one you circle, but definitely, you know, having been a part of it with the boys, it's a very different atmosphere from most of our games. You know, the girls all know each other. That adds an element of competitiveness to it. There's more people in the crowd. It's just an awesome experience for everybody involved. And the one thing I've learned on the boys' side, it really doesn't matter how good either team is. The game is probably going to be close. There's probably going to be some weird things that happen in the course of a game. And you see that with a lot of rivalry type games, Iowa and Iowa State, basketball, football, it's kind of the same way. So yeah, I expect a really competitive game, and I know our girls will be excited for that. And I have a lot of respect for what Scott Young at Centennial has done for our school district. And it's been nice talking to him a little bit since I've gotten started, and a lot of respect for his program and all the success that he's had.
Yeah, that'll definitely set the tone going into Christmas break. I always love Christmas break practices too. It's one of those things where essentially the only thing that most of these girls have on the schedule that day is practice. And so I just always, I feel like as a coach, I probably like them more than the players ever did, but I'm like, here we go. You know, I don't have school getting in the way of practice. Like, get up, let's get in, get our work done. And coming off a good win prior to break would definitely make that even more enjoyable. So we'll have to see how things shake out. But all right, Coach, as we end all of our podcasts, we do a little rapid fire. Some of these questions gear towards basketball, some of them don't. And so all you got to do is just give me the first thing that comes to your mind as I rapid fire these off. All right. What is your favorite visiting gym or arena?
You know, I did like Madrid's.
Yeah, that was a good gym.
We had some success there too. So
that always makes it a little more enjoyable.
Joaquin Northwest and Johnson, I really like those new gyms and how they're set up. And I just enjoy playing there. And, you know, I feel like that's a great environment for the players. So I would say those newer style, like Joaquin Northwest and Johnson courts are pretty cool. And I've liked coaching in there.
Those two good ones. Obviously, Wells Fargo Arena, probably not too bad either, huh?
Well, that's an obvious one.
Yeah, I don't like that answer either. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
What's the game day routine? What do you got? What is there something on game day where you're like, hey, I have to do this, or I have to go there, or I have to grab this, or whatever? Is there something that you got to do on, when it's game day versus just a normal Thursday?
Yeah, my routine will have to change this year with, us playing at 6:15 instead of 7:45. Usually I was able to get a workout in after school and go hang out with the kids for a bit, but that'll be different this year. But, with two little kids, there's not a lot of time between school and the game for me to do my thing. But, if I can get a workout in the meantime before the game, that would probably be the one thing I try to do.
Work some of that nervous energy off.
Yes, exactly.
Clear your mind a little bit and get ready. So we talk a lot about pizza on this podcast. So who's got the best pizza in Iowa?
Well, how about, can I name some of my favorite Ankeny pizzerias?
Yeah, let's do it.
Leaning Tower is awesome. Uptown in Ankeny is also great. Wig and Pan. My wife and I both really enjoy pizza, and Ankeny is blessed to have many options. But one outside of Ankeny that we like that we just got is Papa's in Polk City.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you've had that, but
yep.
I highly recommend that one. And in Iowa, for those of you from North Central Iowa, if you ever get a chance to stop at Borderline Pizza, also known as Taco Jerry's in Forest City, that is highly recommended by most people who live up in that area.
I don't think I've ever had that as many times as I've been in Forest City, to be honest with you. It's just,
we all stop next time.
I was gonna say next time for sure, because I feel like Forest City might be running out of options. Is that a safe assumption or not? Is that Hardee's still open there right
Hardee's
now?
Hardee's has long been closed, unfortunately.
Yeah, that place I had frequent a few times, that's for sure. That's great. And Papa's, like you said, in Polk City, I mean, that's for sure, like once, if not twice a year, family, let's go. We're going up to Polk City. Just a fun place to go. Just cool vibe and just great pizza as well. Actually, my wife and I, that's where we had our rehearsal dinner at.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It worked out really well. So Papa's, not only is it good, holds a special place in our heart too. So that's a great answer. All right. What is, you have a favorite basketball shoe? What's your all time favorite basketball shoe?
I actually have them on right now.
Let's see.
They're Jordan 11. I know it's what probably a lot of people say, but I grew up during the time of him wearing that shoe. And I think I had them when I was in like second grade. So, those are definitely my favorite in a lot of different colors. So
can't go wrong with
sure you get that a lot.
Surprisingly, we don't, and I don't. It's maybe the age demographic too, a little bit on either a younger side or older side that we don't have that. But that is that's like the holy grail right there of shoes, and technology wise too. For 96 was so far in advance, just compared to even some other Jordans. It's just like you could still wear and play in that today. Where a few of those, you're like, no way, like. You can't go back in time and wear those and still be comfortable.
Right.
So that's a good one. All right, what's your all-time favorite sports movie?
I would say Space Jam, just because the amount of times I watched that growing up. Again, you talked about a certain age range and demographic. That came out when I was in like second or third grade. So wore out that VHS tape at home in Forest City watching that. There's so many good ones. I don't know, it's hard to narrow it down, but that one for a nostalgia reason. I haven't seen the newest one yet. I'm trying to get my daughter to watch it with me, but we'll have to watch the LeBron James version at some point too.
Yeah, you'll definitely have to get on that one. My little guy, so my 5-year-old, he is huge Space Jam guy. He likes it. He would take the new one. He'd take the LeBron one over the old one. But we can kind of go back and forth a little bit. And so it's fun that it's like you said, that time and when that came out, and it is fun being able to compare it with the new one and the differences and kind of how they go about it. But that's a good answer. And obviously one that surprisingly we don't get as much as you might think on the pod. So you're doing well here on this. Got a couple more, coach, before I can get you out of here. All time starting five. Who do you got as your all time starting five, 82-0, cutting down the net?
So Magic Johnson, point guard. Michael Jordan, shooting guard.
Yep.
Let's go to the center. I would go Shaq as my center. He was my favorite player growing up. And I just feel like, you know, his contributions or what he did in the NBA at that time is kind of lost on people. You know, look up what he averaged in the 2000 or 2001 finals, and it was just wild what he was able to do in those games. Power forward, I'd go Tim Duncan. And then small forward, I would go with Larry Bird.
That's, you kind of stuck to your era right there, man.
We didn't yeah, and I know I don't have LeBron on there. He'd probably be the obvious choice. No. Small forward, but you gotta make a little difference somehow.
That's right. It's your five, man. That's for sure. And obviously with Shaq, just pure dominance. Unbelievable what he was able to do. I think it's an easy answer. A lot of people just say Shaq, but I don't think they really appreciated Lakers to first year in Miami. Like what Shaq was actually able to do was just scary, like actually scary on
how he was definitely able to say. And it was tough to watch the Magic documentary with him and Penny Hardaway. That was my favorite team when I was really young, and you know, I wish they would have stayed together. I think they would have won a lot of championships together. But yeah, it was just so great being a basketball fan in that era. And I think that's a big reason why, you know, I continue to have the interest in the game. And, you know, growing up with Michael Jordan and all those great players that we were able to watch, it was a lot of fun.
Fun era of basketball, that's for sure. So we talked a little bit about pizza in the Ankeny area. So let's exclude pizza. But if someone like myself is coming up and going to come and catch the Hawkhead game, where do I need to stop and grab a bite to eat though before I head over to the stadium? Maybe a cold beer too.
Oh, there's a lot of good options. Trailside Tap is fairly new in Ankeny over the last couple of years, but we really enjoyed going there, and very close to the schools and stuff, so it's been awesome to have them in town, and we go there pretty frequently.
That's kind of a neat little area too. They're obviously redoing and kind of getting some more stuff in there. Last time I was up there, I can't remember what I was up there for, but they're working on that whole area over there.
Yeah.
I don't know if are they done with it now? Is a lot of that stuff
kind of? I think they're kind of continuously expanding that uptown area, and yeah, it's cool to see all of the stuff they're adding. And even since we moved here in 2015, there's been a lot of growth in Ankeny in that area, and then obviously the Prairie Trail area as well.
Yeah, it's cool to see when they're able to take those older areas and kind of give them a facelift. And, you know, you have so much growth to the north and stuff, but being able to redo some stuff down on the south side and really just make that community a lot of fun to spend some time and get some good eats too. So. All right, Coach, last one. I'll get you out of here. What is the best thing about being an Ankeny Hawk or Hawkette?
I would just say the relationships that I have with the players. And, you know, even though I've switched over and am coaching girls now, I'm still in contact with a lot of the boys players. And it's just great to be able to continue that and, you know, continue to be able to talk with the boys staff when I need to. And, you know, I knew a lot of the girls staff coming on, and just those relationships that I built over 7 years, and, you know, have been fortunate enough to now continue just in a slightly different role. I'm very thankful for. So I would say that's the best thing. You know, our support from the community, from our parent group, from our administration is always great. So I appreciate that as well. It's definitely hard to narrow down just one thing here, but feel very fortunate to be in the position I'm in, and looking forward to officially getting started here in about 3 weeks.
Perfect, Coach. We appreciate you taking some time and chatting with us. We're excited to see the continued growth in which that your program is able to do and the success that you guys have along the way. I said it earlier, but obviously you're always welcome to come back and join the pod. We'll be anxious to see where you guys are at, like I said, 3-4 years down the road and what you guys have been able to do. You mentioned it earlier, kick things off on November 18th. How in the world did you guys get scheduled all the way up in Spencer for your first game? What is the deal there?
So it was one of those situations where we were struggling to schedule a 21st game. We were kind of one of those teams that was left out about a month or so ago. A lot of teams have a full schedule. Obviously, I was just getting started. So Just reaching out to some teams fairly randomly. Spencer ended up needing a game too. And, you know, it's a long trip, but I like it that it's the first game. It gives our girls a chance to hang out. And it's really our only longer bus ride of the year. You know, it'll be a fun opportunity for our girls to hang out early in the season. And I know their program has been very strong over the last 2 years. They'll be very competitive with us. They have a great coach and Coach Stevenson up there. Yeah, I'm excited. It is definitely unique to be traveling up there, but it will be a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, I saw that on here and I was like, wait a minute. Because like you said, I mean, the rest of it is what? You go to Indianola, so for, what, 40 minutes most, 45 minutes? It's like, and the rest of them are all within a half hour. Yeah. Well, because Cedar Falls comes to you, otherwise that one. Yeah. Same thing with, well, you guys are pretty close to Ames up there. But, well, good, Coach. We're excited. We're anxious to see what you are able to do. Best of luck this year. We'll be following along. And thanks again for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Brian.